welcome to the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH. And somebody that's not a stranger to this show is in the studio with me, and that is Mark Holbrook with the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. Good to be here. And I just love your theme music. In the dead of winter like this, it's middle of January, and you got that nice, happy music.
I just see Andy and Opie with their fishing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Let's go fishing.
Oh, I did not pick that out, but it starts to grow on you after a while. You know what? This month, I've been doing this for a year.
Wow.
So this show, now I will make a plea, which I've never done before. We have no sponsors for this show, so if you want to continue hearing the Mike Wilson Show on WWGH, please give us a call here or get us on Facebook and let us know if you'd like to be a sponsor of this show, because to keep it going, we're going to have to find some sponsors out there. So, Mark, there's always something going on in the Marion area, and you are the man to go to.
Well, thank you, Mike. You know, it is the middle of winter, as I mentioned, and we tend to hibernate a bit in the wintertime, but there's still a lot of things to do in Marion. And no surprise, they're indoors mostly. There's still a lot of outdoor things. The Tallgrass Trail has their hikes, and our parks are places you can visit. Paradise out to the east, available for the winter too. So there are places to stroll around, but a lot of us think, let's go inside somewhere. And so there's no shortage of things to do. And one of my favorite things, this is pretty much every year, they come to the Palace Theater. And this will be on January 24th, is the Gas Pump Jockeys. If you like oldies music, and let me clarify, that's Mike and I's oldies music. If you are like Gen X, Y's, and all the other things, this is not your oldies music, because you probably call it something else.
So you're talking doo-wop?
Yes,
rock,
we're talking 50s, yes. Essentially. And again, they're there at the Marion Palace Theater. It's a 7:30 on the 24th. Should be tons of fun, as always, and it's just a blast. And you can get more information at marionpalace.org. Get your tickets. One of the great things is ticket prices at all Palace shows are reasonable. Only $16 to go see, a really great show live and some wonderful music.
That's. Now, I don't think there's a bad seat in the Palace. I think for the most part,
no.
You can see the stage anywhere you sat.
Absolutely. I've sat all over, balcony and main floor, and there is no bad seat. They're all fantastic seats. And you know what? 2 days later, right back at the Palace, is a really fun family event that's been coming to the Palace for several years now, and it's the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater. Now, what is a comedy pet theater?
And why haven't I heard about this?
Oh.
Is it pets that do silly tricks, or?
Well, I think they'd be offended if you said their tricks were silly, Mike.
Well, tricks are for kids.
And so is this show.
Okay.
So the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater, I mean, it's a dog and pet act, and these are a lot of fun. I mean, just think of it as a downsized circus. The animals are smaller and more energetic, actually. They have a lot of fun, and that will be on the 26th again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So this family time, bring the whole family. You can get tickets for as little as $12 for youngsters, and up to $28, depending, again, on where you sit. You can pick your seat at the Palace, too, when you go online to look for your tickets. It should be a ton of fun. Like I said, they come every year. The crowds are great. It's just, a great way to bring the family, get them out, do something fun, break the boredom of the winter, and it's a lot of laughs.
Now, you said that's the 26th?
That's the 26th.
That's on a Sunday afternoon at 4?
Yes, it is. That's a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Advanced tickets on sale?
Go to marionpalace.org, click on the events tab. You find it there. You click on it, click buy tickets, and you can go. As I mentioned, you can actually look at the seating chart. A fairly recent feature, but it's really great. I've done that. I've used it myself before. And, I want that seat and that seat. Boom. And which you can do that at movie theaters nowadays, and you can do it at the Palace as well. How about now? I mentioned that that the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater is kind of like a miniature circus. Mm-hmm. How about a full size circus?
Oh,
sound like fun?
At the Palace?
No, not at the Palace.
Okay, okay.
No, they can't get the elephants in the over the door. It's not big enough. But they can get them into the Fairgrounds Coliseum.
All right.
Yeah. So this is going to be on January 28th, which is a Thursday night, I believe, this year.
January 28th?
Yes.
That's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday. Thank you. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The Cardin International Circus has been coming to Marion for several years. They've been around for over 50 years. And they have a lot of your typical circus acts, aerial acrobats, elephants, tigers, and probably some bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You knew the next words out
yes,
of my mouth.
Yes, I certainly did. That's why I went ahead and done it. That you can come early for pre-show activities for the whole family, and the kids could ride an elephant, a camel, or a horse.
Oh,
should
my.
Be a lot of fun, yeah.
This is like fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a certified humane circus, so they're not mistreating any of these animals whatsoever. And that's the only kind way you can do a circus nowadays, thankfully. And that's, again, January 28th at 6:30 p.m. in the Marion County Fairgrounds Coliseum. You can get more information at veteransmemorialcoliseum.com or anything. If you don't want to try to remember all these websites, just go to visitmarionohio.com, click on our calendar, and you can find all these events on there. And then I'll link you to more information as well. But that should be a lot of fun. The Cardin International Circus, January 26. Now, before we move on to, I'm going to talk a little bit about some February things.
Back up just a
yes.
You said the 26th?
I said the 26th, but it's the 28th.
Okay, I was thinking it was 28th because that's a Tuesday. Okay.
It's the 28th at 6:30, not the 26th at 8:30.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Lots of numbers on the page.
Just don't want people showing up for a circus on the wrong day.
Yeah. But now, that would not be good. The Coliseum will be closed on the 26th. So don't go there for the circus that day. You'll be greatly disappointed. But if you go on the 28th at 6:30, you'll have a lot of fun. All right. Before I get into February events, I just want to stop and take a moment, too, and really thank everybody in Marion County. I've talked to a lot of our shops and restaurants, and they had a fantastic holiday season in December, from pretty much the day after Thanksgiving through the end of the year. They found a lot of people coming downtown and other parts of the city and county to visit our local restaurants and shops. And it's really appreciated by those local owners. You're actually keeping dollars right here in the Marion community. We're not criticizing anybody for shopping on Amazon or going down to the big city to shop. But just a reminder that when you do shop local, when you do dine local, you are greatly impacting your local economy. For example, if you eat a local restaurant, 100% of every dollar stays local. If you eat it at a corporate-owned restaurant, a chain restaurant, 70% leaves town. And, of course, if you shop online, 100% of it leaves town. And, yes, you've got to look for good deals, but we have to remember that if all of our money that we're earning is leaving town and not circulating, it's really hard to have a vibrant, healthy community.
Sure.
So maybe in the coming year for 2020, I don't do resolutions. I don't know about you, so I'm not going to ask you to do a resolution. But maybe think about making a commitment to try to increase your local spending by 10%. Just doing that would greatly help all of our local merchants and also help every facet of our community. More local dollars being spent means more local taxes to keep our streets and utilities up and all these other things. So it's just want to put that plug in there for our local businesses and let you all know that they do appreciate your business and they had a great holiday season.
Well, and our downtown has such a variety of businesses now.
Always.
It's amazing what's in downtown Marion.
It is incredible. 4 years ago, almost to the day when I came to Marion, there were very few businesses downtown, and the majority of the spaces in the downtown area were vacant. And now the overwhelming majority are occupied.
Right.
I can't remember the number exactly. I want to say it was like 85% of the downtown space is either occupied or being renovated for occupation. That's an incredible number. Almost the reverse of what it was just 4 years, short years ago. And the reason for it is because the people of this community decided that we are going to revitalize our downtown. It wasn't anybody from the outside. It wasn't any big developers that came in and did it. It's local folks saying we're going to take responsibility for our own community and revitalize the downtown. Now, if you're listening, you don't live in the city of Marion or you don't live near downtown, you're like, well, what's the big deal? Well, the simple fact of the matter for a county like ours, for a rural county, if the county seats downtown is empty, then the entire county suffers. It's right. That simple.
Right.
We cannot attract businesses if we have an empty downtown. We can't attract manufacturing and industry if we have an empty downtown. We can't attract tourists who spend their money here if we don't have a vibrant downtown. So it does impact us all. And so we're very excited to see things happening. They're going to continue to happen. And, of course, we've got so many great things coming in 2020. I'm real excited to see that the Exploratorium, the new Children's Museum down on South Main Street, got open this fall. Their hours will continue to increase. They're open on the weekends a lot. And that's a huge attraction for us as a visitors bureau to have a place for families to come and bring their children to play.
Mm-hmm. And now, for people who don't know where that is, that's right next to the Trinity Baptist Church, the former library.
Right, the former library building right there on South Main Street. And everybody's loving it so far and having a great time. So we're really excited to see that in its first full year. And, of course, the really big news that we have all been watching, and now it's actually coming to be because we're seeing it happen there between Church and Center Street, is the new Warren G. Harding Presidential Library and Museum. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting to see all that beautiful white brick and the windows frames and all that going up and the columns going in, and knowing that on the inside, as the winter goes on and into spring, that everything will be done on the inside. The exhibits will be in place for what is now a July 1st opening that's scheduled. It's going to open in July, mm-hmm. and so will the home. Of course, the home's been undergoing a complete restoration inside and out. They're almost done with the porch on the outside. Mm-hmm. And I know that just last week they were hanging wallpaper in some of the rooms inside. And again, this wallpaper was actually researched and reproduced to match exactly what was there when the Hardings were there in 1920. And so that's going to be open July 1st. And I would highly suggest that you plan a visit in that first few weeks and be one of the first to see it. Mm-hmm. And when you do make that visit in July, you will be rubbing elbows from people from literally all across the United States. Presidential museums are huge attractions, and there hasn't been a new one open in a while, and there hasn't been a new one open of a historical president in a very long time. And so we do anticipate seeing a lot of people coming from all across the United States to see the new Warren G. Harding Presidential Center, which will be the library museum and, of course, the restored Harding home.
Now, I have a question about
sure.
that. The old, what was originally the press office that's out back, what are they doing with that?
Good question. The press house, as it was called, was actually, Warren Harding had that built at the beginning of his campaign. And, of course, you know, he was a newspaper owner. He understood the press and the power of the press. And he knew that there would be newspapermen there constantly covering his campaign, and he did intend to do much of his campaign from home. Of course, he did a lot on the front porch, and so he built this house for them to work from. And then there were telephone and telegraph lines that were run to it. It's not being restored exactly on that site because they're not sure exactly what it looked like.
Right, no pictures.
Probably. But there are restrooms in there, and it can be used as a meeting space. But they'll have some exhibits to show what it was like, mm-hmm. And what the newspaper reporters would have, what kind of space they would have had, and how they would have used it during the time. So, if you remember, before all this went on, it served as the visitor center. Gift shop, and of course that will be in the new museum. So the press house will get to be the press house again.
Okay. And on the house itself, are most of the rooms going to be open to the public now?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. They will all be open to the public. They always have been for the most part.
Okay.
The kitchen had been out of commission for a while because they had been working on that for quite a while. And you'll notice something new on the back end, because there was actually an addition to the kitchen that was put on before the 1920s, not too long after Warren and Florence built the house, that was torn down later on after they had passed and so on and so forth. So that's been reconstructed. The nice thing about that left the opportunity, since it was a reconstruction, they did put a lift in there to get you up to the first floor. Because if you notice on the front porch there, there's a lot of steps to go up. And for those who can't do steps, you can actually access from the rear. Now, you won't be able to go to the second floor. There's just no feasible way in a historic home to do that. But there will be materials available so that you can see what's up there on the second floor. But the whole fourth floor, which is really the bulk of the tour, will be available to everyone. Should be exciting.
You've mentioned before that where this kitchen was rebuilt, mm-hmm. that they'd done some excavating, trying to look for artifacts, I believe.
Yeah, around there they have, and actually around the press house they did. It was interesting, last year, I want to say probably summertime, mm-hmm. They were doing some archaeological digs around the press house, and they found a trash pit. And from the trash pit, they were able to determine what maladies the newspaper reporters had from all of the medicine bottles in the trash pit.
Oh, okay.
Which was kind of fascinating. I think they might have found a few whiskey bottles as well in there.
That's not surprising.
Yeah.
Let me see. Now, that would have been during Prohibition or after?
Oh.
I'm trying to think of when Prohibition ended.
You're catching. I think it was 21. It was right after the election.
Okay.
21 to 33, I think.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Was so Prohibition.
All right. So, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Elliot Ness and all those folks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I doubt the newspaper reporters were observing it anyway. That being said, but it'll be a great place to visit. More online. Again, you can look at visitmarionohio.com, but I would also recommend going to hardinghome.org mm-hmm. to keep up to date of everything that's going on. And do that with Facebook too. And check our Facebook page. You know, we're just Visit Marion, Ohio on Facebook or any of the places we're talking about. One of the wonderful things now with social media and website availability is it's so much easier to communicate. But then, of course, that means you, the listeners, you actually have to be a little more proactive. Mm-hmm. It's not like the newspapers on your front porch or all these fine details are coming over, and bombarding you. So you got to look a little bit, but that actually makes it better, because then you get better information. So visit us at visitmarionohio.com for more information on all kinds of things. And speaking of 2020, we're also excited that we have a new hotel coming to town.
Oh, we do.
Yes, we do. It's called My Place Hotels. They're out of the South Dakota is where they're headquartered from. The family who used to own the Motel 6 chain sold that, started this new one, and announced recently. It's going to be on McMahon Boulevard across from the Kohl's department store is where it's going to be located. It's described as a hotel of mini suites, so that means it's a smaller suite type setup with kitchenettes and everything. It'll be nice. We have a lot of weekends in the summer, especially, that we're sold out, and people are staying outside of Marion. So, hate to lose that business.
Again, that's
anymore.
Bringing income into the county.
Bringing income into the county. Every visitor, good point. Every visitor that comes, if they come for the day, the average visitor spending per day is $115. The average visitor spending for an overnight guest goes up to $345. And so when you think about that, and the fact that we had 629,000 people visit Marion County in 2018, we don't have 2019 numbers yet, it's too soon, but in 2018, you can see that it adds up. As a matter of fact, in 2018, our visitors spent $104 million.
Oh, my.
In Marion County.
Yeah.
That's a big part of our economy.
That's motels, that's eating, that's gas stations, that's
shopping.
All kinds of.
That's entertainment.
Sure.
We have folks, I've talked to people that have come from as far away as Kentucky to go to a National Touring Artists concert at the Palace, and they just came for the weekend, mm-hmm. stayed the whole weekend. I've talked to people who have come, of course, to see the Harding sites as well. We have folks come from all around to participate in various activities, the hot tamale bicycle run, or other such things like that, where they're coming from all over Ohio, really. And the Wyandotte Popcorn Museum and Heritage Hall attracts people from abroad area. So these people come in and they stay 1 to 3 days on average and have a good time. They go home and they leave their money behind. We love visitors. No, but seriously, Marion's a great place for visitors because we are so welcoming and provide such good customer service. We at the Visitors Bureau do rarely get any complaints about a visit to Marion County. It's always positive. People always have a very enjoyable visit because the people are so friendly and open and welcoming, and it's always good to hear.
Mm-hmm. Sure it is. Now, we've talked mostly about Marion itself, but you also represent the rest of the area around Marion.
Right. When I say Marion, I mean the whole county.
Right.
I never mean just the city. Mm-hmm. That's why we're the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Correct, yes.
But yes, we have places all over the county that bring in people in. One of my favorites is Lawrence Orchard down in the Southwest End.
Smeltzer Road.
Thank you. Great apples. Great apple cider. I haven't done the horseradish and the apple butter because I'm not a big fan of either one of those, but I'm sure it's really good.
I have to try that. I love horseradish.
Last Saturday in October is his apple butter stir and horseradish grind, as it's called. And they have a nice big fire pit and hot chocolate, and you can actually buy the apple butter and the horseradish later on. So it's a really great place to go, really, from about mid-June or so when the apples start getting ripe. All the way up to Christmas, they're open.
Mm-hmm.
Great gift baskets. I bought gift baskets from them, too, that are just fantastic to give as gifts. So that's a really great place out and about in the county. Of course, the Tall Grass Trail is really popular with cyclists and hikers, and we have people come into the visitor center like, we're in town for the weekend, and what kind of parks, outdoor stuff do you have to do? They just want to go somewhere and be outside. And of course, the Tall Grass Trail, and of course Paradise out to the east is kind of new on the scene, but still an exciting place to go visit. I shouldn't say exciting. I should say calm, peaceful, invigorating. Those are probably more
that's probably
words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much excitement there.
Yeah.
Unless the birds get really excited or whatever.
Well, maybe you get chased by a squirrel or something. Yeah. But, you know, hey,
it is a cool
good.
Place. I've been there, and it is a really cool place to visit. So, yes.
Yeah. So that's. Lynn School, just to the north of Marion, out in the country, is a great place.
Do you know when that's going to be reopened?
I know that they, well, for those of you who don't know, it got hit by a semi last year, and there was a lot of fuel spilled and everything, so the EPA had to come in. They had to remediate the soil and do the cleanup and all that kind of stuff. And I know there was clearance to start the project. There's not much they can do in the dead of winter, I think, so I'm not sure how far they're getting, but they hope to be open by summer for sure. But Lynn Schoolhouse is a original schoolhouse, and it has a original furniture on the inside and a lot of other items. It's just a wonderful place. They're open used a lot of times on the weekends of the summer. Check the Historical Society site. That's marionhistory.org, and really simple to find, and click on Lynn Schoolhouse. But it's a great little place.
I understand that they've had donations of things. Some of the seats were destroyed, from what I understand, and chalkboards on the south wall. But they've had donations of originals from other old schools to replace those. So it's going to be a cool place to visit again here in the near future.
It absolutely is. I remember when it happened last year, too, and I remember hearing about a comment from somebody from out of town. It was like, well, thank goodness it only hit a building and not people. And, of course, here locally, we're like, what do you mean? You know, this is a cherished part of our history in Marion County.
Right.
And but, yes, we're glad it didn't hit any people, but I wish it would have just went on through the field next to it.
But we're glad the driver's all right.
Yes.
Of course, people are the first concern
and
everything. And I think you'll agree with that, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
So, But it was a cherished part of the history of Marion County, and will be again in the near future.
Yes, it will. In a matter of months, it'll be back and going strong, and we're excited about that. Some of the other things, you know, we're talking about things outside the city is our golf courses, of course. We have two. Three. I always missay that. Out to the western part is Windy Acres.
Mm-hmm.
No. Green Acres, Windy. My memory gets bad on a Monday night, Mike, but it might be Windy Acres. It's out to the west. Check our website, visitmarionohio.com. Go to Outdoor Fun. Click on golf courses. It's there. Green Acres, and which is down not too far from Lawrence Orchard, which is a par 60.
That's the place to be.
Yes, Green Acres is the place to be. And of course, that's owned by Steve and John Grimes. Sadly, they're twin brothers. Sadly, John passed away several weeks ago. So we're hoping that Steve and the rest of the family will continue with that. It's a great little golf course. And then Kings Mill Golf Course down near Waldo, which is actually very popular with golf outings and things. But it's a great course to play as well. And one of my favorite things is the par 3. The third hole is a par 3, and the tee is elevated. You look down on the green, and behind the green is the Olentangy River and our big, beautiful new covered bridge. It's a great, great vista, and great vistas throughout that golf course as well. So we've got outdoor things like that to do. If you like disc golf, we've got about 9 disc golf courses.
Oh, really?
Around the county.
It's yeah. Putt-putt golf.
Yeah, Paradise. One. We have Paradise. Mm-hmm. Miniature Golf and Ice Cream Shop is down on 423, mm-hmm. just south of town. Beautiful little miniature golf course, and then really good ice cream, too.
Yes, it is. I've partaken. I've known.
Yes. I can tell. Anyway, so lots of outdoor golf-type things to do, but not just for golfers, disc golf and miniature golf for anybody.
Well, something else you just kind of briefly touched on was the covered bridge.
Yeah.
And that was built 4 or 5 years ago?
Not even that long. It actually opened my first year here, so that would have been 2016.
Okay. And that in itself is a reason to come to Marion if you like
Absolutely.
Those things. It's very scenic, beautiful.
It is gorgeous in this covered bridge, if you're not familiar with them, is built to modern specifications to handle modern traffic.
Right.
So it's full 2 lanes wide, which many of the older ones are not. Almost all of them are not. And doesn't really have any load limitations like the older historic ones, but it's just as beautiful. And it's built like the old original covered bridges. And Ohio had literally hundreds and hundreds of covered bridges throughout the state back in the 19th century. One of the major bridge builders was a gentleman by the name of Reuben Partridge, who lived in Marysville.
Okay.
And built over 300 covered bridges, most of them in Ohio, of which 7 still remain in Union County. Unfortunately, we don't have any here in Marion County, but we do have our own mm-hmm. modern covered bridge. And that's been a trend lately with bridge replacement in rural areas, is actually to build a covered bridge. The cost is not that much more than traditional bridges. Bridges last as longer and longer. They don't have to replace the decking, as they call it, the
right,
roadway.
Because it's covered.
Because it's covered yeah. in an open, modern open bridge. And then there's the value of just the beauty of that covered bridge. So we're seeing more and more of those. Whether or not we'll see any additional ones in Marion County, we'll see. But that's certainly a popular one down there. Bicyclists love to bike through there. And a matter of fact, the Hot Tamale Bicycle Tour goes right through the covered bridge as well. So,
And I may be mistaken on this, but I think the original purpose of the covered bridge was so the horses would not be afraid of crossing the water because they couldn't see the water out the sides. I might be wrong on that, but that's kind of...
Yeah, you are.
I am. Okay. Well, I corrected you earlier. Now it's your turn.
That's part of it, actually. I'm kidding. It was also to protect the roadway because bridges were all wooden
right
at that time. And so the covered bridge meant that the wood planking bridge itself, the roadway part, would would last a lot longer. Otherwise, they were being replaced quite often. And it would keep it snow and ice off of it as well. So,
One thing you hadn't talked about is one of the south of here, an eatery.
Yeah.
It has round pieces of meat.
Yeah, I was just getting – that was next.
Okay.
Down in Waldo, or as we like to say at the Visitors Bureau, where's Waldo? No, the question is, where is the GNR Tavern in Waldo?
There you go.
Because the GNR Tavern is world famous, as they will tell you, for their fried bologna sandwiches. And they are awesome.
Yes, they are.
You know, they're kind of unpretentious. They are served to you on a paper plate and with not a lot of fanfare because, well, they're busy because there's a lot of people in there. But they are delicious. I have taken so many people from out of town. They are friends and family who have just been blown away by these little sandwiches that, like, it's a fried bologna sandwich. It's got some pickles and some this and some that. It's like, what's the big deal? Well, they're just delicious. And boy, my goodness, I think just as important at the GNR Tavern is their Mile High pies.
Oh, yeah.
Their homemade cream pies. They're not literally a mile high, but they register in that 4 to 5 inch height for each slice. Think about that. That's a lot of pie.
It is, and their pies are delicious.
But it's mostly air, so you can eat a whole piece yourself. You know, it's okay. There's no calories in it or anything. Because it's mostly air, but they are delicious, too. My favorite is the peanut butter chocolate, of course.
Oh. Yeah. I'm diabetic, but I tell you what, I'm thinking about going down there when we leave here today.
Yeah.
And I did just a little tip on if you're going to get a sandwich or something to go, my experience has been it's better to call ahead and order it rather than because you can wait a long time there because it's so busy.
And again, like you would expect at any restaurant on a Friday or Saturday evening,
right.
There is a long wait. And if it's good, that means you're going to have to wait. So I try to do things like, well, if it's Saturday, try to go at 3:30, 4 o'clock maybe, or a weekday evening, or lunch isn't too bad either. But again, if it's good, it's going to be busy. I mean, we have a lot of those little local places that are like that. If you try to go to Carlisle's on Mount Vernon Avenue at lunchtime, it's going to be busy.
Oh, yeah, that's another good eatery in town.
Yes, it's an excellent eatery in town. And you can find all these local restaurants, again, on our website at visitmarionohio.com. And I would suggest you also click, when you get there, on something called our Eaterarian Trail.
Yes.
We created this to highlight and feature all of our little local unique restaurants, like a GNR Tavern, like Carlisle's, like the Candy Shack, like Barry's restaurant, like Courtyard Grub and Pub, and all those kind of places that, you know, are unique to us. You can't find them anywhere else and have these great unique dishes. And just as importantly, some great owners who are right there in the restaurants. And we came up with the word eaterarian. Oh, we just made it up. You know, people like eateries, local eateries. So,
I like that word.
Yeah. It's growing on, folks. It's become very popular. It's been featured with Tourism Ohio and other places. So it's a good way to keep track. I like to, you know, always like things to keep track so I don't miss anything.
Now, I have heard that there is a new, I don't know, we'll call it a restaurant, coming next to... near Perkins, but across the road, they're tearing up the ground over there.
Yeah,
I've heard what's going to be, but I don't. It might be a rumor. What's going there?
I have no definitive information on what's going there.
I hate to say because I think I know what it is, but I'm not sure.
I can't say because I don't know for
sure. Okay, I have heard that it has to do with little baked things that are round with a hole in the middle.
It could be. It could be, but there's nothing official on that yet. For those of you who wonder what we're talking about at Mount Vernon Avenue where Visible Changes, the hair salon used to be that one-story red brick building, has come down, and there is in process to put up a eating establishment. And I'm hoping that pretty soon we'll be able to say what it is.
Yeah.
But we also, and you know, when I talked about local restaurants, that's not to demean our corporate-owned restaurants, which are primarily out on 95 Marion Mount Gilead mm-hmm. Road, some down on Delaware Avenue and such too. But by any means, because we're excited, we've had some new ones come in too. Jimmy John's is very recent. Right next to them, Smoothie King. The Popeyes restaurant came in mm-hmm. A couple of years ago.
Panda Express.
Panda Express is right across from the visitor center. I see the construction going on there every day, and they're getting very close. So these are important too. It's important that we have a lot of options and availability, not only for us as residents, but for our visitors as well. So didn't mean to slight them at all.
Well, even those corporate businesses that are coming in, they're still bringing dollars into the Marion economy.
It takes everything, really. It takes all of it. And here's the reality, too. The presence of the corporate-owned restaurants did not, are not a detriment to us having local restaurants, especially in our historic downtown. What happens is if people want to eat at a corporate restaurant, they're just going to go there anyway. They're not making a choice between that and a local restaurant. Mm-hmm. Because previously, here in Marion, folks who wanted to go to a unique local restaurant left town.
Right.
Or go to Delaware or some other place. Now that we have more options here, they're more of them are staying here. So it's not a corporate or local restaurant issue. It's an in-town, out-of-town issue. And we're seeing that start to shift quite a bit. And I challenge everybody, again, just like I did with the shopping. When you think about your dining out, if you don't go to local restaurants, commit to going just once a month at least. But I think if you start doing that and visit various local restaurants of ours, you're going to find yourself going more than once a month because there's just something about a local restaurant that is so very – makes the dining experience so richer.
It does.
More enjoyable and just a lot of fun. And they're not as noisy.
What about people that are looking for caterers? We have at least two I know of in the area.
We do. I know of one, and that's All Occasions Catering, which is down just south of Waldo.
Right.
And they have their own facility down there, catering facility, event facility, plus their new one, the barn, which is next to it, mm-hmm. which has a more rustic look. Who's the other one you're thinking of?
Maybe it was. Are they the ones that own the Riverside Dairy ice cream?
Okay. All I know of with the Riverside is their ice cream.
Okay, I thought there was a caterer that owned that. I might be wrong on that one.
No, I think it's been in the same family for a while.
Okay, which originally the Riverside ice cream was made in Cardington, Ohio. Then mm-hmm. they bought the recipes and brought them over here to Marion. Imported them from Cardington.
Cardington.
So, yes.
That's a long trip.
The Maxwell family that had a big mm-hmm. farm there for many, many years. And that's some of the best ice cream you can get. So, Riverside ice cream, if you see that. I know Kroger's has it. Mm-hmm. There might be other places as well. So, again, that's manufactured locally.
Yep. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. And, you know, something else I want to mention, Mike, we haven't talked about yet, and I don't think I've talked about with you yet on your show, is we are in the middle of our bicentennial year, the beginning mm-hmm. of our bicentennial year. Marion County was founded in 1820, and so it's been 200 years, and so there's tons of celebrations going on throughout the year, and they all kick off Thursday, January 16th, coming up, with the first of the Marion 200 Speaker Series. It's a series of featured speakers throughout the year, 11 in total, and this Thursday's speaker will be Dr. Bradley Lepper from the Ohio History Connection. He is our state archaeologist. He is the main archaeologist there, so he's our state archaeologist, and he'll be talking about Marion County before it was Marion County, so it should be fascinating. We'll be looking at things, and I say we because I'm on the steering committee for the Bicentennial Committee. We'll be looking at a lot of things that are happened over those 200 years in this coming year. Thursday night, we're going to focus on what happened before that 200 years, and it should be fascinating to learn both what it was like in Ohio, which was totally unpopulated for a long part of its history. Mm-hmm. The Native Americans were actually on the East Coast. Most of the Native American populations in the U.S. were actually all on the East Coast, and they didn't actually move into Ohio until later. And so Dr. Lepper is going to talk about all those sorts of things, the pre-Native American and Native American times of what is now Marion County. Should be fascinating.
And what's the time and the venue of that?
That'll be at 7 o'clock at Tri Rivers Career Center in the GIOC Auditorium there on the side. It's got a blue awning. Can't miss it. Plenty of room for everybody. Free program. And there'll be more information at that program Thursday night about all the speaker series and other events going on for the bicentennial. There are going to be commemorations going on through all of our villages throughout the county all this summer. A lot of our other folks are doing things specific to the bicentennial. I know the Palace Theater has some plans, and of course the Harding Home and Museum are doing some things. And just should be a really exciting time for the summer. Again, that's the opening event for the Marion 200 Speaker Series, part of the Bicentennial Celebration. It's this Thursday, January 16th, 7 p.m. at Tri-Rivers Career Center, and admission is free.
Can't beat that with a stick.
Nope. Actually, all the events are free that are on the schedule for the Bicentennial. So, very excited. And I got to mention, too, as we are here in winter, and it's not feeling really winter-like right now, but we know it's probably coming.
We'll
get our cold spells. We'll get some snow. We don't know how much, but there's still plenty of things to do throughout Marion County. The Palace Theater has tons of events. I'm not going to go over them all right now in the last few minutes, but they're coming up with shows like Tommy James and the Shondells, Robin Hood and his Merry Men are coming, and that should be a lot of fun. Kids of Palooza is coming back to the fairgrounds on February 29th, so that's a great way to beat some cabin fever, just all the kids out there. It's like really fun, and this year they're going to have entertainment, games, prizes. They're going to have the Marion Popcorn Festival royalty is going to be there. Marion Midget Football Cheerleaders. So this is for the kids, the little kids. So it should be fun, especially snow cones and cotton candy. Although the adults might like that too.
Yeah, some adults might like that.
Yeah, I think so. Bounce on playhouses and all kinds of fun stuff. So that's Kids of Palooza, February 29th at the Marion Fairgrounds Coliseum. And that should be a blast. Lots of fun. Movies at the Palace are going on all the time. A reminder to everybody, just so you know, at Heritage Hall, that's our Marion County Historic Society Museum, is closed in the winter because that's when they redo all their exhibits. Mm-hmm. They'll be open up very soon, as a matter of fact, March. And so that'll be coming soon. I'm excited to see the new exhibits every year when they do that. And Brandy Wilson, the director out there, has told me that their intention, their hope and plan is that they will have expanded hours starting this year.
Okay.
They recognize that working with the new Harding Home and Museum is important, and their hours will be 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday, essentially. And so Heritage Hall will be open the same hours this summer is the plan. So look for more from them on that. MarionHistory.com will tell you all the details, but that's exciting too. Our Historical Society Museum is a treasure. In my previous positions working for the State Historical Society, I've traveled all across the state, and I've seen a lot of county Historical Society museums, and we have one of the best. The building itself is beautiful.
It is.
But the exhibits are fantastic.
Yes, I love going in there. Plus, you get two museums for the price of one when you go
right.
there.
That's right. And not only do you get to see Marion County history, the Popcorn Museum, but then when you leave, you get a free box of popcorn. And there is no other museum does that. I guarantee you, nobody else does that.
There is a kernel of truth to that, yes. Mark is speechless.
you're very punny this evening, Mike. I'm trying to wrap up, and you're being punny. So that's about it for now. We'll come back hopefully soon and tell you about more things going on. We'll remind you that if you need any information, not only about what's going on in Marion County, but anywhere in Ohio, come visit us at the Visitor Center. We're at 1713 Marion Mount Gilead Road. That's out there in Mallard Square Shopping Center. We have information, obviously, for Marion and everything going on here, but then we have visitor information for all across Ohio. We all share each other's visitor guides and things. So if you're planning a trip, please stay in Ohio if you can, or at least do a few weekends in Ohio and come visit us, and we'll help you plan that trip.
Okay. And there is a statewide visitor's guide as well that you put together,
there is,
right?
Well, the state of Ohio has their own visitor's bureau also, and they do the state tourism guide, and we have those as well. We have county maps. We have state maps. We have individual information on various attractions and places, both in Marion County and throughout the state. Lots of fun. We do not have anything outside of Ohio, though. It's all within Ohio.
Well, there's so much to do here in Ohio, just in the Marion area, mm-hmm. and throughout the state. And, you know, you can take these short vacations rather than using.
Absolutely.
And from what I've seen, fuel prices are going up, so that's something to consider.
Oh, they go up, they go down, but in the long run, they're not too bad and haven't been for a while. But the other thing, too, is like travel around the state this summer, visit some places in Ohio you haven't been to, and make sure when you do, you tell everybody where you're from and invite them to come visit us here in Marion County.
Okay, well, Mark Holbrook with the Marion Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, thank you for stopping in again.
My pleasure, Mike.
We're looking forward to having you on again in the near future.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.